From the Land DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don't forget, Wayne will headline our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, one of many, of course, this Friday evening. If you have a ticket to that, we're looking forward to seeing you. If not, and you'd like to get a copy of Orion's book and have it signed, well, you're in luck. Orion will be on campus in Bevere Hall doing a book signing from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, and you can drop by and see him and get your book and have it signed by Orion Samuelson. Later in this program, the Closing Market Report this afternoon, we'll talk with K-State's Dan O'Brien about feed grains and feed usage in 2013 and 14 and what the ethanol and feed grains usage might look like as we talk to him about the agricultural markets and the agricultural energy segments of those marketplaces. As we close out the program, of course, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contracts for the wheat were lower, down 12 cents in the March at 7.79 and a quarter under settlement. The May at 7.88 and a half, 11 and a quarter lower. And July soft red at 7.93 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter in Chicago. Kansas City hard red at 8.61, up 6 3/4 from the corn pit. March futures up a penny at 7.28 and a half on a settlement price. May corn at 7.30 and a quarter, up 1. July at 7.22 and a quarter, up 3/4. And December contract at $5.90, a settlement price down a half cent for the day. March contract there at $6 even, down a half as well. March soybeans at 14.51 and three quarters, up 22 and a half. The May at 14.39 and a quarter, settlement price up 22 and a half. And July beans 14.30 and three quarters, up 20 and three quarters for the day. November beans of the new crop at 13.12 and a half, up 20 and a quarter. January futures there for 2014 at $13.18 and a quarter a bushel, up 20 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.21.60, up 7.20. Bean oil at $52.43, 75 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures finished the April 65 cents higher at $130.47.5, and January feeders at $144.40 were up 50 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour, including the lean hogs, $85.70, up 35 cents. Crude oil futures in the February contract at $96.24 a barrel, up 68 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.83.5. That's up 3 8/10 of a cent. Ethanol trading at $2.39 2/10. That's a penny and 7/10 higher, and the difference between the two is now 44 3/10 of a cent on the spread. That's 2 1/10 of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.55, a penny and 3/4 lower, in heating oil or diesel fuel, 2 1/10 cents higher on the afternoon at $3.07 3/4, or rather 7 3/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $1,693.20 an ounce, settled $6.20 higher, and the U.S. dollar trading at 79.87 is down 0.16 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies for the day, a high of just 14 degrees, and wind chill values between 1 and 4 at west-north. Northwest winds at 9 to 11 miles an hour. And then tonight, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a low of 8 degrees, wind chill values between 0 and 5. West-northwest winds at 5 to 8. And then tomorrow, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 28 degrees, the wind chill values between 4 and 14. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 13, wind chills between 2 and 7. And Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 25. Northeast winds at 8 to 10 miles an hour. They'll turn to the southeast in the afternoon, finally, and we'll get a 50% chance of snow showers because of that on Thursday night. It'll remain cloudy that evening with a low of just 19 degrees. And then on Friday, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high of 25 degrees Friday night. Mostly cloudy and a low of 12 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 22nd day of January 2012. Our all-day ag outlook tickets went on sale this morning, and as of just about 11:30, 40 of them had already been sold at $25 each. There are about 365 available, so they go fairly quickly. Actually, they go in 5 to 6 days, so if you want one, probably better call sooner than rather later. The number to call is 217-333-7300 for our all-day ag outlook, scheduled for Tuesday, the 5th day of March, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, is one of just a handful of people, and certainly I think now the only one who has made every one of those events, and he will be in there again this year. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Hey, well, looking forward to that all-day outlook meeting. You know, it's always a lot of fun, and great to see these sellout crowds and get to talk to a lot of our old friends.
Yeah, lots of old friends. Hey, another thing, you'll be here on campus on Friday evening this week. Thanks for joining in on our Voices of Illinois Agriculture. Actually, you're the reason it's happening, Wayne, so thank you so much for that. If you hadn't had a hot hand and been bidding at our Salute to Ag Day event in September at the football game, we wouldn't be doing this, and we sure are proud to have you along for that, and you're the reason Orion's going to be with us, too.
Hey, you know, it's just a lot of fun to do these things, and we've always been a fun-loving group here at WILL, and you put Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson together, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you get Cooley and Nelson together, and, well, something's going to happen, and it's usually going to be fun. That's fantastic. Hey, one other thing. If you didn't happen to get a ticket for that event, but you do want to come and visit with Orion and buy a book from him, he will have a, buy his latest book, a book signing event just before our event at Bevere Hall from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, so drop by there then. I suppose that we probably had better talk about the marketplace. Kind of mixed in Chicago today. What happened, Wayne?
Well, you know, we saw a big explosion in the bean market. Of course, the weather in South America, a continued wet in the north, delaying harvest, and dry in the south, and dry in the northern part of Argentina that way. That, of course, spurred things. We're seeing tremendously good crush margins in China, and they're aggressively wanting to buy beans out of South America, which they're about a full week and might be knocked back another 2-3 days on that and make it 10 days behind on their schedule, and their boat lineup's getting large. And we saw a couple boatloads probably south of the Pacific Northwest to China this morning. So a lot of enthusiasm there. Russia talked a lot about dropping their import tariff on wheat from France on Friday. We saw a big surge there. And today I think we saw a little bit unwinding of short beans, long wheat, and a little bit of just wheat selling and profit taking when they didn't do that. And, of course, the wheat being down 12 pretty much pulled the corn, so it didn't really surge here today. But, you know, we saw some of the advisory firms actually exit some of their short November hedges today on the close, with a close above 1310. So a little bit of optimism, closing over 14.50 and over $13 in the new crop, in both the old and new crop beans.
Now, so do you think this weather segment has legs under, real legs under, other than just being a scare? I know we heard about it last week during the closing mark report from many of our meteorologists. Ed Kieser talked about it on Commodity Week in his segment. And I did see Michael Cordonier on This Week in Agribusiness with Orion taking that segment up, too, in last week.
You know, if they would turn around and start getting rain, no, it doesn't. If it continues to plague them in some of the areas, and maybe we see, if we remember last year, we started off and we kept shrinking South America's crop. Now, I think we're in better shape than we were last year at this time down there, but there are a few problems going on, and, you know, we want to keep a close eye on them, especially with the crush margins as good as they are, Todd.
What do you see for corn at the moment?
The corn, you know, the old crop corn, the market's just tight. It's not moving much. Every time we have exports or export sales, we're going to say they weren't very good. It's because we don't have much supplies to sell, but the world market's going on. But we're going to be watching, you know, as Informa pegged the, 99.3 million acres coming up here. Everybody's trying to push into new crop and try to get by into that time period, but A lot of talk about the old crop, new crop spread, and people thinking that could continue to widen out.
Getting many questions about crop insurance yet?
No, not really. I think the questions are still, for some of these large claims, is where's my check yet? because, of course, that takes the RMA audits, and those take a while. But, you know, we're going to be getting closer to that here soon. But a lot of the guys, you know, just thinking they want to see what February brings and what the price is going to be, and they're going to definitely be... I think most everybody that had insurance is going to continue to buy it even at a higher rate, and those that didn't have insurance are going to be in line to get some this year.
We'll see you Friday night at 6 o'clock here on campus.
All righty, thanks,
Of course, we'll see you at 4. Yeah, for Commodity Week, absolutely. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and will be our guest on Commodity Week, and then a panelist at our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event this Friday evening. If you bought a ticket for that and you're wondering about some of the particulars, I'll send an email out to you probably later this evening, maybe yet tomorrow, with all the particulars about where you're going to park and what time and those sorts of things. For Voices of Illinois Agriculture, if you're wondering about our All Day Ag Outlook meeting, that one is Tuesday, the 5th day of March, and it is now selling, well, the tickets are on sale now. And if you'd like to buy one, you can dial this number, 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300 for our All Day Ag Outlook. Of course, it's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Some really special events for that one, including all of our on-air analysts. And John Bondurant will be here. Murray Wise will be at that one. And the University of Illinois' Peter Goldsmith will be on hand as well. The All-Day Ag Outlook tickets are on sale for $25 each. The phone number to call, 217-333-7300.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, a couple of other things to keep in mind as we make our way through this afternoon. We will also have a meeting at Pontiac this week. That's on Wednesday evening. You can always find all the meetings and expectations for WILL agricultural programming at our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Dave will be up at the Elks Club in Pontiac on Wednesday evening of this week. Just hit willag.org and then look for the calendar. You'll find not only that program, but a program with the Illinois Soybean Association, one with the Pork Expo or the Illinois Pork Producers Association, and, of course, information on our All-Day Ag Outlook. Now here's Dave with today's news.
In agricultural news, Japan's age limit on U.S. and Canadian beef may rise from 20 to 30 months as soon as the end of February. On January 28th, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare's Pharmaceutical Affairs and Food Sanitation Council will start studying recommendations regarding raising the age limit. If the council acknowledges the recommendations, within 2 weeks, it will start procedures to raise the age limit. The age limit will then go up to 30 months between late February and early April. The IRS says the agency will waive the normal estimated tax penalty for farmers and fishermen unable to file and pay their 2012 taxes by the March 1st deadline. The delay stems from this month's enactment of the American Taxpayer Relief Act. The ATRA affected several tax forms that are often filed by farmers, including Form 4562. The IRS is providing this relief because delays in the agency's ability to accept and process these forms may affect the ability of many farmers to file and pay their taxes by the March 1st deadline. AT&T says it's reached a deal to buy Alltel U.S. wireless operations for about $780 million to boost its spectrum in rural areas. The Dallas company is buying the licenses, retail stores, and network assets. Alltel's network covers about 4.6 million people in mainly rural areas across six states, including Illinois. Federal regulators are expected to review the deal. The companies predict that it will close in the second half of this year. The DuPont Company says weaknesses in performance chemicals and electronics and communications, coupled with costs associated with growth initiatives, led to a sharp drop in fourth quarter income. The company reported net income for the quarter ending December 31st of $111 million, or 12 cents per share. That's down from $373 million, or 40 cents per share, for the fourth quarter of 2011. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Our all-day Ag Outlook is scheduled for Tuesday, March the 5th. Have you purchased your tickets yet? We opened sales this morning, and the sales are going really briskly. Very fast. You know this one usually sells out, so if you want your tickets, better call early. The number is 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300, and ask about the all-day Ag Outlook Tuesday, March the 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets are $25 each. Now up next, you know, when USDA released that December 1 estimate of corn on hand, it was bigger than most had expected. I'll have more on how one University of Illinois ag economist, Daryl Good, reads the number. The grain stocks report released in January showed about 200 million fewer bushels of corn on hand in the United States than most had expected. It's pretty clear those bushels were likely used for livestock feed. Still, the 802 million bushel figure was important for many reasons, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good.
Stocks were estimated at a 9-year low of 8.03 billion bushels compared to the average guess of about 8.2 billion. The stocks estimate implies that feed and residual use of corn has not slowed as a result of the small crop and high prices that began in June of last year. Because of the harvest of a large quantity of corn before the marketing year began on September 1, feed and residual use should be evaluated over the six-month period from June through November 2012. For that period, feed and residual use of corn totaled about 2.39 billion bushels, 110 million more than during the same period from June through November 2011.
That big of an increase over the period was surprising, especially because USDA also noted a substantial increase in wheat feeding over the same six-month time frame, says Daryl Good, up 125 million bushels from the previous year. It's an oddity.
Unlike other years of small production and high corn prices, feed use has remained large. Such a high rate of use has been possible because corn used for ethanol production has declined about 10% year over year, and because exports have been almost non-existent. Exports during the first quarter of the marketing year were at a 41-year low of 220 million bushels. For the year, the USDA projects exports at a 43-year low of 950 million bushels.
Year-ending stocks of corn are projected at a 17-year low, or just 602 million bushels. That's what would be left in the bin, so to speak, when next fall's harvest finally starts to come in. Given all of that, Daryl Good believes new crop prices for corn and soybeans will eventually succumb to the looming South American crop harvest, should it remain in good stead, and prospects for a return to a good harvest in the United States next fall. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's check out what's been happening in the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien of K-State Extension is on the phone line from Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Sure, thanks.
Hey, you sent me some interesting things. You want to go through some grain stocks, which we just heard from Darrell Good to some extent, for both corn and sorghum. Why don't you tell me why sorghum is important to the state of Kansas first?
Well, there's a good possibility that with the approval of the EPA's designation of grain sorghum as an advanced biofuel, that we could see over time a marked increase in grain sorghum acreage and production. Again, if kind of our general train of thought out here in the Western Plains is that if grain sorghum can get just 1 billion gallons out of that, say, eventually about 4 billion gallon advanced biofuel slice of the renewable fuel standard, then, gosh, we, you know, 1 billion gallons at about 2.8 gallons per bushel is about 350 million bushels, and we only grew in the U.S. about 250 last year. So it could be could make for a large change if there's a lot of adaptation amongst plants and such.
So now, do you think that this would be a switch in acres from corn to sorghum, from wheat to sorghum, from both to sorghum? Maybe not at all. Where would it be grown?
Well, I think the first thing to keep in mind is if we do go that way, farmers will vote with their planters according to the prices that they get. And if they get a good enough profitability signal from grain sorghum, it could pull from everywhere. On the dry land side, of course, it'd compete directly with corn and pull maybe some wheat acres as people would be more intense. Really, the larger ring to grab for grain sorghum would be if it could compete on irrigated acres. And, the market's kind of coming to it as we have enough wells that are declining in irrigation capacity out here in the Western Plains. Lower yield scenario, corn and grain sorghum are competitive, where we still have lots of irrigation water. Corn, with its ability to respond to available moisture, quote, out horses grain sorghum, at least in our part of the country. But for the increasing number of low capacity wells, 100 to 300 gallons per minute, then those type of wells could find grain sorghum to be a very good option for it.
And it's a good dryland crop and works well under drier conditions. We grow some, but not very much, and mostly in around the St. Louis area, I think.
Yes, the stats show that Illinois has a fair amount of grain sorghum there. But again, even with that, where if your country is like our country, quote, where we can grow corn with adequate moisture.
Oh, we grow corn.
You grow corn.
That's right.
So. But time will tell. And when you look at the longer term, I think one thing is sure noticeable on grain or on the ethanol market. Mm-hmm. We've had losses for literally 12 months in a row. So we're due for a turnaround of some type, and a combination of so-so ethanol prices and pretty high corn prices and or grain sorghum have been really working against us in that.
So can I ask you about those losses in the ethanol? That's on the model plant that runs out of Iowa, right? Or
yep.
Your model that comes out of Iowa State. It's a model they developed. But here on this campus, the ag economists have come to the conclusion, and I want to know whether you agree or disagree with this, that simply ethanol has become an octane enhancer, and it is simply a component of gasoline, and as long as they can make money on the gasoline using ethanol as a component to enhance octane, there will be a call for ethanol to run through those systems, and the more integrated the oil companies are into the ethanol plants, the more likely that plant's going to run.
Yes, you have a chicken and egg thing going on in that without question we have ethanol as the largest quantity of available economic oxygenate fuels. And I think Scott Irwin and Darrell Good and those fellows have done great research on that and some others as well. But would we have that much of a large supply of available oxygenate if it wasn't for the underlying governmental programs that make that quantity available?
And I think they would agree on that question as well. We're out of time, Dan. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this afternoon.
Sure, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. He's in Kansas. Back in a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Blonde Brownie Day. Blondies predated chocolate brownies, appearing in American cookbooks no later than the mid-19th century. The forerunner of the blondie was a gingerbread soft, chewy cake. By the 1950s, butterscotch brownies were described as blondies. It's also Feast of St. Vincent, patron of wine growers and vinegar makers. On this day in agricultural history in 1887, Sir Joseph Whitworth died, an English mechanical engineer. He was the pioneer of precision measurement and he held patents for machine tools as well as textile and knitting machinery. In 1892, Coca-Cola Incorporated. In 1997, Alvin Stockman died, an American plant pathologist and educator. He established methods for identifying and combating disease in wheat and other food crops. And in 1997, although it doesn't have a lot to do with agriculture, we like the story. Lottie Williams of Tulsa, Oklahoma, became the first person known to have been hit by man-made debris from space. She was struck on the shoulder while walking in a park by a small piece of a used Delta II rocket that had been used to launch a military satellite in April of 1996. And that's This Day in Agricultural History. The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 22nd day of January. Don Day is not available this afternoon. Tried to reach him this morning, and he was traveling to Los Angeles. Apparently, he did not get down on the ground. Actually, he made it to the ground. He just didn't get to his hotel, I don't think, or doesn't have cell reception where he is. We do have the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of just 14 degrees today with a wind chill of -1 to -4 degrees. On that west-northwest wind at 9 to 11, kind of the first time we've had those this year that cold, so make sure you bundle up because it is frigid outside. A chance of flurries for the evening, mostly cloudy, a low of just 8 degrees, and our wind chills will be between 0 and 5 degrees. On a west-northwest wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. It'll calm down after midnight, and tomorrow we'll have another chance of flurries during the day, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 28. Wind chill values between 4 and 14. Light and variable winds, they'll come out of the west at 5 to 10 miles an hour in the morning. And then partly sunny on Thursday with a high of 25 degrees with a north-northeast wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour on a southeast wind in the afternoon. That'll turn us into a 50% chance of snow for Thursday evening. And a cloudy evening with a low of just 19 degrees. And then on Friday, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy and 25 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 12 degrees. That's a look at the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area, a couple of things to keep in mind. Don't forget to dial in for your tickets to our All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That one is scheduled for Tuesday, the 5th day of March, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The number to dial, 217-333-7300. This week, Dave Dickey on Wednesday night will be at the Elks Club in Pontiac for an Ag Outlook panel. You can find the details on that one on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There, in fact, you'll find all kinds of our agricultural programming, including the Voices of Illinois Agricultural event, and a way to come in and have Orion Samuelson sign your copy of his brand new book if you didn't get a ticket to the Voices event. You can still come to campus from 3 to 5 on Friday afternoon and visit with Orion for just a bit. Get a copy of his book, have him sign it at Bevere Hall. Details are all at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great weekend. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tuck Leeson for Illinois Public Media.